Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot. Whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever, that's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm gonna be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
Okay, then I'm going to introduce Karen, and Karen will start with her presentation. So Karen Liebengut, she lives and works in London already for 20 years. She is a trainer, the mindfulness trainer and a coach, and founder of Green Spaces Coaching and Mindfulness. Karen is going to introduce content-wise herself, but I just want to say that while scrolling through your website and learning about you, I really got this sensation of like, I could breathe in the combination of text and the images. So I'm very curious to hear everything that you have to share with us this morning about your coaching in nature as your specialty. So spotlight to you, Karen.
Thank you very much, Tamara, for the introduction and warm welcome. I'm really happy to be here. So I'm going to share my slides and then I'll begin. So a very warm welcome to me to this session. I'm going to look at how coaching outdoors can help us have a more embodied coaching experience, and that applies to the coach and coachee. So I will cover both. Yeah. And before I begin, I want to say that I am planning to make this session interactive. Yeah, I'm not putting anyone on the spot. But I might ask a few questions and invite you to use the chat box to just type in a short answer, yeah, so that it's not just me talking at you. I would love it to be a sharing session, if you like. And then you will also see at the bottom of your screen a Q&A box. So if you have questions along the way while I'm talking, you might have questions, do pop them into the Q&A box. If at the end there isn't enough time for questions or just a few questions, I'd be very happy for you to email me your question and to have a chat even on Zoom, depending on where you are. Good, so let's begin. So before I say a little bit more about myself, I want to let you know what I want to share with you in this session, what I have to offer. So I'll introduce myself in a moment, and then we'll do a mindful moment to allow us to arrive and to connect with nature, yeah, because nature is everywhere, so we can do that from wherever we are. And then I'll tell you a little bit my story, how I came to coaching outdoors. And then we'll explore our sense of place and place of origin. And after that, I want to share with you the benefits of coaching outdoors for the coachee and the coach. And then we'll do another mindful moment, a short practice. And towards the end, I want to talk a little bit about the practicalities of taking our coaching practice outdoors for those of you who want to take your practice outdoors. And then very briefly, I will say a bit about what I offer, and then there will be time for questions. So this is the agenda for this next hour. And we'll finish just before 11 UK time. So as Tamara said, my name is Karen. I'm originally from Germany. I've lived in London for 20 years. I'm a certified coach, ecotherapist, accredited mindfulness trainer and teacher. I'm also a mentor and facilitator. And I set up my own business, Green Space Coaching and Mindfulness, in 2008. And a year later, in 2009, I took my coaching practice outdoors. And today I offer one-to-one coaching while walking in East London, in Victoria Park, team development in green spaces in London, and mindfulness programs in Kew Gardens, and also corporate retreat days in and outside London. So, but before I go more into the agenda and what we'll do today, let's have a mindful moment. Let's just pause for a moment and settle into our seat. Helping us to connect to nature, wherever we are, because nature is everywhere. It's always there because we are part of nature, not separate from it. It's just that sometimes we can feel a little alienated when we spend time indoors or in an urban environment. But nature is everywhere, so let's just settle, arrive in our body here, in our respective places and locations. And let's bring our awareness to the soles of the feet in contact with the ground. Remembering and imagining the earth beneath the feet, the soil, rock, the landscape you are in, wherever you are, the landscape around you, getting a felt sense of the earth beneath the landscape. And then also getting a sense of the sky above your head. Here where I am in London, it's a rainy day today. So the sky is gray, but it might be blue where you are, or cloudy. But the sky is always spacious and always there, just like the earth. Noticing the space above and around you. And then getting a felt sense of the body, breathing, sitting here. The sensations of the body, feelings, thoughts. And then let's take three deep breaths. Slightly extending the in and out breath. Noticing the sensations of the breath in the body. And then gently bringing this practice to close. In your own way, if you had your eyes closed, gently open your eyes, sensing the body sitting here. So I want to begin by sharing my story, how I came to coaching outdoors. My journey with nature, if you like. It began really from a young age. I've always had a deep connection with nature from when I was very young. I grew up with a single mother and my sister, and home life wasn't always easy because my mother was working full time. In the evenings, she was tired. And so my sister and I spent a lot of time on our own, which often was difficult. But what really helped us as a small family was my mother's love of nature. And at the weekend, we would often go out into nature on our bikes or into the woods, walking, playing, looking at plants and trees. So from a young age, I knew how I felt after a day spent in nature. I would feel alive and happy, and I had this sense of all is well. So regularly spending time in nature has been a big and important part of my life. When I started my coaching practice in 2008, I was seeing clients indoors in the consultation room, but something didn't feel quite right about it, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And then in 2010, as part of my ecotherapy training, I did a retreat in a remote place in Scotland. And it was a group retreat, and part of the retreat was spending a whole day in a sit spot in the land around the retreat center. So we were asked to go out and find a sit spot, no bigger than 10 square meters. And the next day, we were asked to spend a whole day there from dawn to dusk, about 12 hours in our sit spot with just some food, drink, a notepad, no books, no electronic devices. So there I was in my sit spot, thinking, reflecting, walking in small circles. And then all of a sudden, there in my sit spot, I had this idea of taking my coaching client outdoors into nature. And it was a hugely exciting moment. I still have goosebumps when I think about it now. And so I took that idea to my then coach and talked it through. And then I asked friends of mine whether they would be willing to trial a coaching outdoor session with me, and they all agreed. So I did four pilot session outdoors, and they all loved it. And that was really the beginning of my coaching practice outdoors in nature. And subsequently, I also offered team development in green spaces inside and outside London, as well as retreat days, particularly for corporate clients. So this is one of my clients, Christina. She's a single mom, and she wanted to explore her skills and next steps in her professional life after having spent some years being a mom with her kids at home. So this quote, I really love this quote, particularly the bit for going out, I found, was really going in. So sometimes when I feel a bit out of sorts or upset or, you know, anxious or worried about something, I take myself out into nature on a walk. And when I do, I can connect to something bigger than myself. I can connect to my own senses, to myself through connecting to nature. And when I do, I always feel this deep sense of ease and contentment. And I always like to say that when I've spent time outside, I always can see a little further into my life. I have a greater perspective and more ideas. So I think that really comes out in this quote by John Muir, who was an environmentalist and conservationist in the States. So I wonder how you feel when you have spent time in nature. Maybe just spend a moment. How do you feel when you spend time in nature, when you take yourself out, particularly on your own? And that could be your back garden or your local park or a longer walk in the countryside. How do you feel when you have spent time in nature? Maybe you want to put a word into the chat box if you like. And it's also a question that you can take away. Ask yourself when you do spend time in nature.
Still peaceful, connected, astonished, playful, recharged.
Wonderful. Yeah, I can relate to all of that. It's wonderful, isn't it? All positive emotions, by the way. Yeah, all positive emotions. Yeah. Thank you for that. Great. Good to hear. So I want to explore a little bit our sense of place and place of origin. So the biologist, writer, and researcher E.O. Wilson, that some of you might have heard about, coined the term biophilia hypothesis. It means our hardwired disposition to connect with the natural world. It means that nature is our place of origin. Yeah, that's where we come from. We are not apart from nature, we are part of it. But sometimes in our modern busy lives, we feel alienated as though we were separate from nature. And I often experience this with clients when they arrive in a coaching session outside and we start walking in green space, in nature. They often slow down and pause and make a sigh of release. Yeah, it's like, as though they have arrived, yeah, somewhere, arrived home. And they have. Yeah, I think this is what happens. I often get clients who tell me, oh, you know, I hardly ever spend time in nature, but something attracts them to my approach. And it's often those people who have that deep sense of place. And this is really because as humans, we have this love of nature, yeah, of its diversity, shapes and colors and beauty. We respond to it. Yeah, it's our innate attraction to nature. So this is another client of mine, David, who wants to find out about his purpose in life. This is often a question clients come to. And so we would explore that also through exploring what really matters in life, yeah, our values. That's often a topic. This is in my local park here in Victoria Park in London, very beautiful, big open space. So a little bit more research now. This comes from Stephen and Rachel Kaplan, an American research couple. They have done a lot of research into our relationship to nature and the benefits of spending time in nature. And they have coined, they talk about nature as a restorative environment. So as humans, yeah, as people, we long to come back to our senses. Yeah, we long to have experiences that connect us to the natural world. Yeah, so nature ignites and stimulates us. And yeah, you all have experienced it. Yeah, you've just shared some of your feelings. Yeah, when you're in nature. But when we are in nature, It has a different effect on us than the stimuli of everyday life. Yeah. Some attention requires mental effort and concentration. Yeah. By for example, at work, we need to focus hard, yeah, to process information, to stay with the task at hand. But in nature, yeah, nature captures our attention involuntarily. Yeah, it's effortless. Yeah. And so nature provides us with a restorative environment. And for many clients whose lives are complex, demanding, busy, this can be a huge relief and deeply soothing. So we can take another deeper breath here before moving into the benefits for the coachee. So clients who come to coaching outdoors, they usually say that coaching, being coached outside, is invigorating, yeah? It's mentally stimulating, it's grounding, embodied. It also is refreshing, of course, because of the fresh air, regardless of the season. And it's also spacious and creative. So let's look at this a little bit more. I often say that clients walk their way out of a problem and into a solution. Yeah, it's really rather wonderful to observe what happens in nature, where there is more outer space to create inner space. So the benefits of walking side by side. So clients often say walking side by side rather than sitting opposite each other in the consultation room feels liberating, yeah, non-judgmental, equal, free, open, less intimidating, less scrutinized, if you like. And walking side by side also makes it easier to deal with challenging questions, yeah, because the outer space creates more inner space to process these. Yeah. And also clients often tell me that they find it easier to be in silence, yeah, when walking side by side, because it feels freeing rather than awkward or uncomfortable. And this really comes from when we walk side by side, often clients say it feels more equal, yeah, that the coach feels more like an equal rather than the practitioner. And one of my clients, Kate Willis, she said to me, it's much easier to talk about sensitive subjects without direct eye contact. Yeah, I think that's key here. Without direct eye contact. So when I walk side by side, I always sort of regularly look at my client while walking, but it's not so intense. So movement and pace also provides benefits for the coachee. So movement, the walking provides freedom and space. Yeah, and it also provides physical exercise. And the pace often reflects the internal state of the client. Yeah, so a slower pace reflects deep thinking. Sometimes clients even stop, yeah, to process a question. And I can see it when clients pause, stop walking and sort of look down. And it tells me that they are accessing feelings, working things through, grappling with something. And it's rather wonderful to be able to do that outdoors. Yeah, because nature, of course, provides that supportive container. And then a quicker pace reflects wanting perhaps to get away from difficult thoughts or feelings. And when that happens, I sometimes invite clients very gently to slow down a little bit. Yeah, and often people really like that as a reminder. It's like, oh yeah, let's slow down, because it's much easier to work through something particularly difficult, yeah, when we slow down. So this is another client, John, who explored how to speak up in meetings and how to say yes more often to opportunities at work. So this is really moving into the heart of my presentation or talk, if you like, which is all about how coaching outdoors can help us have a more embodied coaching experience. Yeah, and of course, this is the theme of the whole conference. So let's look at this a little bit more, what actually happens, yeah, outdoors, and what allows us to feel more embodied, more in the body. So when we walk, yeah, the movement, the walking, gets us out of the head and into our direct sensory experience. Yeah? And I've said this a few times already, yeah, the outer space, nature around us, creates more inner space. And this happens naturally. And when we walk, our brain waves slow down to alpha brain waves. Yeah, and this is because our mind also needs to focus on the movements of the body. Yeah? And when we walk outside, yeah, it often sparks the imagination in that way, because our whole body is engaged, yeah, body, heart, and mind. And then often solutions seem to come from nowhere, yeah. That's when clients have their breakthroughs or aha moments or insights. All of a sudden, they know what the next step is, or all of a sudden, they understand something much more clearly. So I want to take this a little further. You know, how does it actually work, becoming more embodied? How does it work to drop from the head into the body? We often say this, don't we? Let's get out of the head and in the body. But what happens? So let's have a look at this graph. So the left-hand triangle represents our sensory perceptual experience, our sensory experience of the world. Yeah, what we see, hear, feel, taste, touch, smell. And the right-hand triangle represents our conceptual experience of that way, of that world, yeah, the way we label everything as good, bad, right, wrong, like, don't like, and then think about it, yeah, analyze it, judge it, compare it. And most of us spend quite a lot of time in the upper part of the triangles, what I call here in the graph bend X. Yeah. And so when we, for example, have an issue or problem, or we feel stressed or overwhelmed, or we feel anxious about something, we tend to be in the upper part, yeah, of the two triangles. Worrying, analyzing, fixing, yeah, whatever is not working in our life. Overthinking, yeah. And of course, thinking, yeah, our ability to think is of course important, yeah. I'm not saying we shouldn't be thinking, yeah. That's part of being human, thinking. It's just that we sometimes overuse that part of the mind, yeah. And this mental activity or overactivity often keeps us trapped in the very issue or problem we are trying to solve. Yeah. So when we are in nature and we connect to our senses, yeah, it helps us to move lower down the two triangles into our sensory direct experience. And when that happens, we are in the present moment. Yeah. We are embodied. We are more in our body. And so our thinking becomes more embodied, more fruitful, I like to say. And when our thinking is coming more from the body, from our present moment experience, we can find more creative solutions to our challenges. And this is why I think when we walk in nature and talk, often clients have these breakthroughs more easily. These aha moments, because they come from a different place, from the body. And when we are more embodied, our whole experience broadens. It's much bigger, richer. So I'm just going to pause here, because this is quite an interesting, I find, and helpful way of understanding where our embodied experience comes from, versus experiences that are mainly coming from our conceptual experience. So maybe you want to just pause, see whether there's a question you might want to share at the end of the session. And maybe also check in again how you're feeling right now, where you are right now. Are you more in the body, in your sensory experience? I can see Tamara sort of really checking in with her body, which is lovely to see. It's a lovely way of that already indicates we are more connected to the body. And we can also right now connect again to the earth through the feet, our whole body, sort of sensing what's happening right now in the body. And are you more in the head right now, or are you more in the lower part of the triangles in your sensory experience? What you feel, hear, see, maybe there are reactions to what you're hearing right now. So another of my clients, she said, being in a huge open space as opposed to a small contained one really makes a difference. I often refer to the park where I do most of my coaching outdoors as my consultation room, the big open space. This is my office. So here's another question for you. I'm really curious about where you most like to spend time in nature. Sort of coming back to this sense of place and our place of origin. We do, I think we all have favorite places, where we most easily come back to our senses, to a connection to what most matters to us. So I have a sit spot on the south coast of England where I often go and take myself on a solitary day. So what is it for you? And that could really also be your back garden, or a favorite spot.
Forest, trees in the forest, it says. Sea. Mine is definitely the sea, although sometimes I'm kind of also high mountains as also very good, only that they are not so easy approachable from the Netherlands. My local park.
Nature's everywhere. Sometimes I feel
forest in the area where I grew up.
Lovely. Anything else? Wonderful. And sometimes it depends a little bit on where we are at, in our life.
Wisley Garden.
Say that again.
Wisley Garden or Wisley. I'm not sure how to pronounce the name. Wisley, I think.
Wisley Gardens. Oh, is that's near London, isn't it? I've been there as well. Wisley Gardens?
In Surrey, yeah.
In Surrey. Oh, wonderful. Wisley Gardens. Lovely. Yeah, and we can also think about depending on our mood. Yeah, what's our favorite place to go? Yeah, sometimes it's the sea. Yeah, if we feel a little bit sort of constrained and hemmed in and stuck, you know, I often like to go to the sea. It's sort of an intuitive choice. Yeah, sometimes I want to be in the forest and feel more contained or nourished by the beauty of the forest. Or sometimes I love meadows, open space.
Yeah, it's exactly that, the openness of closeness that I also experienced, the difference, like what you feel like more kind of nourished, or supported by trees somehow, and the openness of the sea.
And also I want to ask you, how often do you spend time in nature? Yeah, is that something that happens regularly for you and you make a conscious choice about? Or is that something that, you know, you do when you have a bit of time? Or is that something, you do regularly or maybe want to do more regularly because you know how beneficial it is for you? That's another question.
Way too little.
Way too little. It's interesting. Often the things that are good for us drop off our agenda, don't they? Any more?
Not enough. Would like to go outside now.
Good.
Lucky my job allowed me to spend time in nature during outdoor education and gardening.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
But still not enough.
Yeah. It's good to be aware of, isn't it? And to find ways of bringing nature more into our life.
Yeah.
Which is a funny expression because it's already there. But, you know, we all know what we mean by that.
Yeah.
Right. Because, of course, when we're directly in nature, it's more easier for our senses to be ignited rather than when we are at home. Although at home, we can always connect to nature. And I would like in a moment to do a nature connection practice that we can do anywhere, indoors and outdoors. But let's look for a moment at the benefits for the coach, in case there are coaches amongst you who want to take their practice outdoors, because I didn't want to leave this out. Yeah. And of course, as coaches, we benefit hugely from taking our clients outdoors. It's not just the coachee. Yeah. So this is really based on my own experience and based on research. Yeah. That as a coach, when we coach outdoors, we do feel more present because we are in touch with our senses. And I also feel much more attentive. Yeah. It's much easier for me to listen, to be present to my coachee, to my client when I'm outside. I ought to feel more resourceful as a result. Yeah, I very rarely feel drained when I coach outside. I very rarely feel tired. Yeah, I feel alive, energized, grounded in my body. That's really when I'm happiest. I always say that's when I'm at my best. So my clients get the best from me when I'm outside. So let's do another practice, which is the four element practice, connecting to earth, water, fire, air. So do make yourselves comfortable. You may want to give yourself a little stretch, settle into your seat. We've been sitting for a while. You may even want to stand up, and then sit down again. Yeah, look at Tamara. She's our role model here. It's lovely. And then again, settle into your seat. Place the soles of your feet firmly on the ground, on the earth. The upper body poised, allowing the spine to lengthen naturally without forcing anything. And then having your shoulders drop down into the earth. And the face soft, soft face, soft eyes, soft lips. And again, getting a sense of the whole body being held by the earth. Surrounded by space and sky. So let's begin by noticing the solidity, the presence of the earth beneath our feet. So really noticing that solidity, perhaps with your feet on the ground, but also in the way that the body is held. And remembering that all of us here in this session, everyone in the world is held by the same earth. And then also noticing the bones in your body as firm as the element earth. Just take a moment to take your awareness into your body and the solidity, firmness of the bones that allows the body to be upright, to move. Sensing the earth element in the bones. And if that feels a little bit much right now, you can keep your eyes open or broaden your awareness. And then let's take a deeper breath. And let's move into the water element. Let's bring to mind a nearby river, perhaps a stream. Maybe some of you live by the sea or the rain. For me, the rain is very present right now. I can hear it on the window. Or maybe you have a pond in your garden. Or you can imagine, remember the water coming out of your kitchen tub or the shower that you had this morning. And gently tuning into the fluidity, softness of the water element. Maybe remember what it's like, water on your skin or your hands when doing the washing up or when washing your hands. Perhaps notice the shared qualities as the fluids that keep your body alive. Blood, sweat, saliva, urine. Can you get a sense of the blood flowing through your veins? Having the same soft quality, fluid quality as water. Water element outside and inside. And taking another deep breath. The fire element. I want to invite you to imagine the warmth, to imagine and to feel the warmth and energy of the sun on your skin, where you are, if there's sun right now, or the heat of a wood fire or the radiator in your home, I can sense my radiator in the room where I'm in right now. So sensing the fire element, sun, energy of the sun, the heat inside the house. Now imagine and feel your body temperature, the temperature of your skin, the warmth of your heart. The warmth of your heart radiating kindness and well-wishing. The fire element outside and inside the body. And taking another deeper breath. And then moving into imagining and feeling air, the air element, the fresh air perhaps on the skin when we are in nature. The air right now in your home, is it fresh, warm? Maybe not so noticeable right now, or cool, both. And then notice your breath floating in and out. The air entering and exiting your body. Really sense the subtle movements of the breath. Coming in and going. And then just for a moment, resting back in awareness of your whole body. Experiencing the outer elements. And the inner elements, the body, bones, fluids, warmth, the heart, the breath. And again, just notice for a moment how you are right now. What's happening in your experience? What's the quality of connection to nature right now? And then gently bringing this practice to a close. Moving your toes and hands, perhaps your shoulders again, stretching your body a little bit. You might want to get up or have some water, opening your eyes if you had them closed. Lovely. I just want to move a little bit into practicalities. We are coming to the end of this session. This is particularly for those of you who want to take your coaching practice outside. So the practicalities of coaching in nature. So of course, confidentiality is always important. Yeah, when we coach clients inside and outside. Outside, it's even more important that we give the client the sense of confidentiality, a safe space, yeah, psychologically safe. So I create that by taking clients across the land, yeah, by walking on the grass, away from the path, away from people, yeah. It's also much more enjoyable to walk directly on the grass. Yeah? And it's important that as coaches, we know our territory, that we have done a recce of the route we want to take our clients on. Yeah, that we are familiar with where we are going so that we don't have to worry about where we are going while being with a client. Yeah. And it's important that we let our clients know that we lead the walk, yeah, so that the clients don't have to worry about it, where they are going. They can completely immerse themselves in the coaching session. And I can tell you, people really love that, yeah, when I say that, because it's so rare that we don't have to take responsibility for anything, yeah, other than what's going on here for us. So it's a treat as well for clients to be guided, yeah? And I always let clients know what to wear and bring, yeah? Because that varies from season to season. Here in the UK, we have four seasons. So we are in autumn right now. So I always say to clients, there's no bad weather, only bad clothing, yeah? So I always say wear comfortable shoes, shoes that can get wet or muddy. Where bring a raincoat, wear warm layers. Yeah, in the summer, I say bring a sun hat and sunscreen, water. So it's helpful to let clients know, yeah, what to bring, and they are ready for it. And then I wear a wristwatch, not my mobile phone. I don't use my mobile phone to track time. So I then can gently, discreetly look at my wristwatch to track time, yeah. And I always take notes afterwards, so we don't have to worry about that, yeah. And that works really well. And do check with your liability insurance that you're covered when you take clients outdoors. Most insurances cover coaching outdoors. So again, if there are any questions that pop up right now, if you're a coach, if you don't have time to answer all the questions, do drop me a line. I'm very happy to have a chat with you. And then very briefly, what I offer, as I said at the beginning, one-to-one coaching while walking in London's parks, team coaching outside. And I also offer long, day-long coaching while hiking days outside. And I have two beautiful walks that I offer. One is by the sea, one is in the forest. And I also offer day-long coaching days in London, in one of London parks. I am pretty busy. My books are full, which I'm grateful for. But I do have a limited number of initial coaching conversations. Yeah. So if you're interested to take up a session with me, I've got 5 available. Do contact me in the next 24 hours if you're interested. And you can also connect with me on LinkedIn. And let's see whether there are any questions.
Yes, there is a question from Georgina. I wonder if you could alternate indoor and outdoor sessions.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes when clients take up a longer program with me, and they are not local to where I am, we alternate. Yeah, we do a session outside and then we go online. And of course, during lockdown, I did quite a lot of coaching online. So that works very well. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe you can stop sharing your screen so we can see you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then further, there is an additional question. Do you recommend starting outdoor or indoor?
I always, if possible, start outdoors. Yeah, even my initial free coaching conversation, I always invite people to come outdoors if possible, because it's just so much more enjoyable and beneficial.
Mm-hmm. There is another question. Do you include any meditation exercise in your sessions? And if so, how and where do you do that?
Yeah, that's a lovely question. Yeah, definitely. Particularly with clients who feel stressed and anxious, who are sort of arrive on autopilot and want to run away. I have beautiful short practices I do. One is that I call 4-3-2-1, just helping people to come back to their senses. And I would ask them, you know, look around, tell me 4 things you see, and then 3 things you hear, and so on. And I can share, if you're interested in some of these mindfulness practices outside, I can share them with you. I also, if you go to my website, I have under free resources, I have quite a few exercises you can do with yourself in nature or with your clients. So there's quite a lot on my website as well.
And the last question is how to coach during hard rain.
Good question. So during hard rain, when it is really pouring down, we would either go online, which is not preferable, or we would just reschedule. But I have to say, although I've been doing my work in the UK, I've probably rescheduled or cancelled a session 3 times. Mm. It's very, very rare that it rains all day and that it's hard rain like that. Yeah, but there's flexibility around it. Otherwise, I go out in any weather because that's part of nature.
And I will ask you the last question because it's related to the previous one about the meditation. Do you do the meditation in walking or standing?
Both. Sometimes I invite the client and myself to just pause for a moment or to find a comfortable spot to stand in. And some clients are drawn to a tree or want to stand under a tree. It's beautiful. And then we pause. Yeah, that's nice sometimes as well to just pause. And then I would stand next to the client and I would take us through a practice that connects us more with the body. And I do it myself. I practice with the client.
Okay, I would like to thank you very much. It was very interesting. And your voice is so soothing. I was really like just listening to you was kind of getting and calming down. So that was, for me, wonderful experience. So thank you very much. Thank very you. Interesting as well. I would like you to, in a moment, share with us your tip for embodiment. Like what would be your top tip about embodiment while I'm inviting people to join our Facebook groups and the sponsor video, the sponsor of our channel is Uzazu, but unfortunately we couldn't share the video. Something was not going right, but that's our sponsor of the channel, and you can join other participants either in a coffee breaks, so that's also a Zoom session where you can log in on our website and then share live and talk to people live, and also in a Facebook group of this channel or other channels. And of course, give yourself a gift and buy a library of this fantastic conference, and until the end of the conference you can get it for 50% off. And you know, I'm overwhelmed when I hear 1,000 lectures, then it's like, oh, I'm not going to join any because I don't know where to choose. If you buy it, then you have it and you can do it in your own time, in your own pace. You get also the learning lists, so you can then see, you know, according to your own way of learning and interests, how to go through all that. And of course, yeah, that's a thank you for all the organizers and us all to organize all the other events of this kind in the future. So Karen, I'm going back to you to end up the session with your final top tip about embodiment.
I just want to say a big thank you to you, Tamara and Tria, for your support. It was great to have you here. My top tip is to regularly, daily, even spend some time in nature and to connect to the earth, the body and the sky, and notice the difference when you do.
Thank you very much. It was very big pleasure of mine as well. And thank you and see you around.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.